1908, as far as I know. I wasn't there, but I understand this was the establishing time. There was a lady by the name of Ann Jarvis who lived in New England and had a great love for her mother. Her mother was an aged woman, and she wondered what she could do to generate some interest for mothers. And so she decided that she would try to bring focus to her mother and to other mothers by honoring mother on a particular day and doing some act of kindness as an expression of love. And this caught on. And it has been helped by businesses and merchants, and it's been exploited somewhat. But we're delighted to be sharing in Mother's Day. We're sharing in Mother's Day because mothers are worthy of our honoring them. And there's much in the scripture that would tell us that we need to honor our mothers. I think we embarrass them sometimes, especially when they have had a very difficult time getting the family ready for church. The children aren't responding as maybe they should, having breakfast and then getting them all clothed, and their patience is entirely exhausted. They get to church and they find a member of the male world standing in a pulpit trying to tell them how they should be mothers. And there couldn't be anything more frustrating or even embarrassing for mothers than to have someone like me to tell you what you ought to be doing. I can only say this, that I will use this disclaimer at the very beginning of what I want to say, and that is this. God gives us ideals in this world. Ideals. And we were reading of the ideal in Proverbs 31. Sonia was reading that for us. And I'm sure that mothers must have said, well, I couldn't possibly fulfill all of those conditions and those characteristics of being a mother. But even though God has given us that ideal, and no one of us in any measure measures up to what we really ought to be, yet there is a striving toward that goal. And sometimes it's a little too easy to preach on the ideals and stop there and leave mothers discouraged, wondering, how come I'm not as I ought to be? And I don't measure up, nor do I feel myself worthy to be receiving all of those plaudits and honors that they talk about in church. But you know, God knows that we are not perfect or ideal creatures. He knows all too well our frailties and our weaknesses, and he knows the situation that we find ourselves in. And we're living in a dysfunctional world, and there are a lot of dysfunctional families. We were praying for some this morning. And I would remind you that life gives to mothers many blows that they consider on a day when they're to be honored, and blows such as sensing failure, sensing a loss of job or a loss of responsibility, finding financial setbacks or disaster, even knowing divorce in the family, loss of a loved one, or loneliness, or sickness, and cancer, and all other kinds of things, and rebellion of children. And then we come to hear about honoring mother. And it's a difficult situation. But I remind you that God is your partner, and God is in control. And if you trust the Lord, your Heavenly Father is the one that oversees all of these frailties and all of this weakness. And your response as mother and as a father, I would suggest to you, is that we trust Him, and that we thank Him, and that we don't despair, that we take Him at His word in spite of all the surrounding uncertainties, knowing that He is entirely trustworthy. And that's what He would have us to do. And with that disclaimer, let me say a few things that may encourage and help you. There are a lot of quotations that one could give on Mother's Day. There's a Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound or a kilogram, a pound, I guess, if I'm using that system, of clergy. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy, or several pounds of clergy. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am and all that I have and all that I ever will be, I owe to my angel mother. And we realize, too, someone said, if you could reform the world from all of its vice and immorality, we would begin by enlisting mothers, by enlisting mothers. We have the MAD organization, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and a lot of our organizations that are trying to bring about change in the status of our family, and not only our economy, but our moral structure. But the scriptures give a very prominent place to motherhood. We find that Christianity is the single most important agency in the history of the world to give mother a position of equality and respect and honor. Whereas before Christ and before the truths of the gospel, before God, the true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, intervened in the affairs of this world, we found that women were only chattel and were regarded with total contempt. But in the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they have been elevated to a place of prominence. And God chose a woman. And we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." He gave to Mary, a woman, the privilege of being partner with him in providing for us Messiah and Savior. And the woman was elevated. We find as well that the Old Testament speaks to us of Jacob obeying his mother. And the Old Testament scriptures in Exodus chapter 20 tell us in the fifth commandment, in the very center of the tables of the law, "Honor your father and your mother, and the days that you have on earth will be long and will be wise." God honors those who honor their parents, and mothers are specifically mentioned. And we find that at Calvary, when the Lord Jesus was engaged in the greatest spiritual exercise in all of eternity, when he was dying on the cross for us, and his death we will remember in just a few minutes about his table, when he was engaged in this exercise for your salvation and my salvation, pouring out his precious blood for the remission of our sins, seeing at the base of the cross this mother who brought him into the world, this mother for whom he had care and honor. He looked down and saw mother and said, "Mother, mother, John will take care of you." And then said to John, "You will, won't you, John?" And that's my parlance. But he saw his mother in the midst of this and asked John to make provision for his mother and assured his mother that she would be cared for even in his absence. There would be special care. And so we find that at Calvary, the Lord Jesus thought of his mother. And we find that God has given to us reason to honor our mothers for who they are. For who they are. And when we think of honoring our mothers, as our text tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, we're to honor our mothers and call them blessed, and her husband also to praise her. The word honor means more than to obey mother. The word honor means more than to hold her in some kind of high esteem. It means to put her into a superior place. And the New Testament gives us insights in this whole matter of how we can really honor our mothers, what we should really do to honor our mothers. In Luke's Gospel chapter, or rather in 1 Thessalonians, Paul addressing the church at Thessalonica said in chapter 2 and verse 7, "But we were gentle among you," Paul said to the Thessalonians, "like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Like a mother caring for her little children. He said, we loved you as a mother would care for her children. And I suggest to you that this picture of mother, of her caring for the children, breastfeeding the children, providing for the children. And we find in the scriptures as well that mother was to be the one who would be the keeper at home. She is delegated and designated to be the one who is responsible for the home. And sometimes we think as fathers that we can lord it over God's heritage, but mother's place is in the home. And today, because of our materialistic society, most of our mothers have to go to work. It isn't that they want to go, but they need to go in order to pay mortgages and pay bills. So we have two people working in the home. And this puts mother under undue pressure. And I'm not here to change society, but I think it has done a great deal to break down the respect and the honor that we really could have for mother. We honor you because you've had to do double duty. You're a restaurant keeper. You're the minister of finance in the home. You're the person who conducts the laundry business. You're the person who looks after the discipline, who runs the school, who does everything. And then to think that you're required to go out and be a provider as well. We honor you for doing that, even though you're entitled and should be the keeper at home. The scriptures also tell us that mother's position is to be the guide of the house. I remember Henry Brandt, who was a psychologist of yesteryear. He was really quite prominent when I was a young man. And I think maybe George will remember Henry Brandt. He was a psychologist, a Christian who ministered all over North America. And I went to hear him one time in Dallas at a special small group seminar, and he was there as the speaker, and he was trying to speak about how we as leaders in churches should give leadership in the churches, and then the place that we have in responsibility to our wives. And he decided it would be a good idea for his wife to speak. And he asked his wife, Eva, if she would speak to the session. He asked her in private before he intended for her to do it. And when he asked her to speak, he said, "What do you want me to say?" And he said, "Well, you're the keeper at home. You're the manager of the home. You have the responsibility of the children. Surely you have a lot to say." And she said, "Oh, I can say it all in 3 words. And he said, "Well, what are those 3 words? And she said, "Hang in there. Hang in there." And sometimes that's what mothers have to do. They have to hang in there. And he said that when he purchased a condominium in Florida that was facing the sea, and it was high in the building, and the windows faced the sea and no one could see them, they had a little discussion at home as to whether they would have blinds or drapes on the windows. And he said he didn't want blinds and drapes on the windows. He wanted to see the seascape. And she wanted to have blinds and drapes on the windows. And if the husband is the head of the wife, what do they do? He said, "I would have you guess whether we have blinds and drapes on the windows or not." And he said, "Yes, you're right. We have blinds and drapes on the windows." And he said, "It's because I have delegated that privilege and that responsibility to my wife, and we're cooperating in everything we do, and she is equal with me, even though I am known as the leader." Mother is the keeper at home and has the responsibility, and she is respected and she is honored for all of this, and she exercises discipline. And when I think of her exercising discipline, I'm sure that children say, "Well, mother exercising discipline, that's the one thing about mother that I don't so much appreciate." I had Jeannie find something on the computer or else in her files that I thought was rather interesting. Mother as a disciplinarian. It's written by Bobby Ping Rowe, whoever she is. But this is what it's called, "The Meanest Mother." "I had the meanest mother in the whole world. While other kids ate donuts and candy for breakfast, I had to have cereal, eggs, or toast. When others had Cokes and chips and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you can guess, my supper was different than other kids also. But at least I wasn't alone in my sufferings. My sister and 2 brothers had the same mean mother as I did. My mother insisted upon knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were on a chain gang. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing. She insisted if we said we'd be gone an hour, that we'd be gone an hour, not more or less, not an hour and 1 minute. We had to wear clean clothes and take a bath. The other kids always wore their old clothes for days. We reached the height of insults because she made our clothes herself just to save money. Why, oh why, do we have a mother who made us feel different from our friends? In bed by 9. The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 each night and up at 8 every morning. We couldn't sleep till noon like our friends. So while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the children labor law. She made us work. We had to wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all kinds of things, cruel things. I believe she lay awake at night thinking up mean things for us to do." The meanest mother. The sequel to that is that he was thankful to have the meanest mother because she disciplined in love. And you know, the mothers that we honor this morning are mothers who love their children. And the kind of love that is spoken about in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 of the qualities that are given there is the kind of love that mothers have. And I just mentioned these 4 qualities that mothers have for which we honor them. They bear all things. Bear all things. That means to cover with silence. Literally, never to drag into the light of day the faults and the mistakes of their children. I can remember going to my mother and saying that my brother, I would say, "Do you know what John is doing?" And mother would say, just a minute. "Don't you worry about what John is doing. I'll look after it." And she covered over all, and it was an injustice because he was getting away with murder. And I was thinking, mother needs to know, and she needs to act justly and discipline properly. But she covered over, as only mother could do, and that's because she loved him. But she loved me equally. Mothers love that way. God is in the covering business too. He covers our sins with his love. He is the propitiation for our sins. And as we remember the Lord Jesus coming and covering our sins with his love and his dying upon the cross, we can see a picture of mother's love. She is the propitiation for our sins, the covering. And then we find as well that mother believes all things. You know, sometimes mothers are required to believe some stories that are rather suspicious. But she always believes, and she believes the best. She believes the best about her children. I've had all kinds of mothers come and tell me that their children in trouble, in difficult trouble, some in trouble with the law. But it wasn't the fault of their children. It was the fault of the company that they were keeping. They were in no way inciting or initiating all of this trouble. They were caught up, and mother was prepared to believe the very best about their children. And this is a quality of mother that we commend today. I can think of mothers whose sons have drifted away when it seemed as though there wasn't anything left for hope at all. But mothers hope. Love hopes all things. And sometimes, mothers, you're the only one who does hope. And I would encourage you when you're hoping all things. When many times we give it up in despair, I've been reminded that there are some of our children who bloom in the spring. They're like crocuses or daffodils. They bloom in the spring. But there are other members of our family, other of your children, who will bloom in the fall like chrysanthemums. And I'd rather have a chrysanthemum than a crocus, because the crocuses don't last very long, and the chrysanthemums, they can even stand true in the frost. But I suggest to you that some are early bloomers and some are late bloomers, and we need to keep on hoping. Hopeth all things, and mothers endure all things. They will bear everything in their loving with triumphant endurance and fortitude. Mothers need to be honored for those qualities, and we honor our mothers for their example. I am thankful for the example of my mother. She was a godly woman. Some of you can't be thankful for godly mothers. But I would like that we would honor the mothers that we have for their example. When we think of Hannah, and she prayed for Samuel, that God would give her a son. And God gave her a son, and she named him Samuel because she prayed for this boy. She prayed for him, and God took him and made him to be a mighty prophet of Israel. And she had prayed. I suggest to you that one of the best things we can do, and that, mother, you can do, is to keep on praying. I thank God for my mother's prayers, even when it seemed as though I was maybe never going to respond. I thank God for her prayer. Keep on praying, mother. Be encouraged by the examples of some who didn't have any more hope than you do. But keep on praying. And it may be even after your demise that God will answer prayer. I can remember a family in Sarnia that a woman prayed for, four sons, of those four sons, none of them had come to know Christ when she died. And it was after her death that they came to know the Savior. So we never stop praying, never stop hoping. And then I think not only of Hannah and her prayers, I think of Jochebed. When Jochebed had Moses, and this boy Moses was a beautiful boy, and the Pharaoh in Egypt would have slain this Jewish boy, but Jochebed saw that he was a beautiful boy and she wanted to keep him, and for 3 months she kept him, but then she couldn't keep it quiet any longer. 3-month-old children, particularly boys, know how to cry. She couldn't keep him quiet any longer, so she made this little basket of pitch and of sticks, and she made it water secure, waterproof, and she put it in the bank of the Nile River, and she had her daughter Miriam go and watch it and look at it. And along came the daughter of the Pharaoh, and she saw this little basket in the water, and she went down and found a baby. And Miriam comes along and said, "Can I help you with that baby? Would you like me to find a mother or someone who can look after the baby?" And so Pharaoh's daughter said, "Oh yes, that would be wonderful, and I'll pay the mother to do this." So there was pay. And I don't know, but Jochebed was a very wise woman. She was a protecting woman. She did everything she could to protect little Moses. And Moses became the great emancipator of Israel, There wouldn't be any Passover without Moses. God used his servant Moses so mightily. But he had a mother who was protecting. And we thank God for that model. And I would also suggest to you that in the New Testament, there was a woman by the name of Eunice who was the mother of Timothy. And the scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, these words, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Eunice was a woman of faith, as was her mother. And Timothy became a servant of God of faith. If there was a characteristic in Timothy that seemed to be pronounced, it was faith. It was taking God at his word in spite of the surrounding uncertainties, because God was entirely trustworthy. And I would say to you, mothers, be encouraged. Continue to pray. Continue to protect. Continue to have faith and confidence that God is your partner. You're not in this alone. And I pray that God would give you husbands. Husbands that would bring honor to you as well. Her husband also, and he praised her. And with just a moment remaining, how can we as husbands honor our wives as mothers? I'd like to list six things that I can do as a father, as a husband. And I'd like to share them with you. Maybe you'd like to have a copy of this, gentlemen. But these are the needs of your mother, your wife. These are the six basic needs. And I think she'll agree with me. Your wife, in honoring her, needs the stability and the direction of a spiritual leader. And you're that leader. Number two, she needs to see and hear that you cherish her and that you delight in her as a person. Number three, she needs to know that you protect her. You protect her at all times, for all conditions. Number four, she needs to know that you enjoy setting aside quality time for intimate conversation. Number five, she needs to know that you are aware of her presence even when your mind is on other matters. And number six, she needs to know that you are making investment in her life that will expand and fulfill her world. And I would commend that we as fathers, as husbands, honor our wives who are mothers with these six directions, and God would have us to honor our wives. And children, honor your parents. And the scriptures would teach us, and I could go into more detail, that even when our parents are elderly, it's a time when we continue to honor them. And it's a strange thing, as a pastor friend said to me on Friday, we were having a luncheon of all of the old timers that we knew. And at this luncheon, one of my pastor friends of 50 years said to me, we're living in a generation and in a culture where the grandparents, the parents, are not being provided for the way they are in other cultures, the way they are in Africa, the way they are in the Orient, the way they are in many, many other cultures of the world. And we're not saying that because we're old and we're being neglected by our families. But we're putting our grandparents, our grandmothers, into homes and thinking we're doing them not only justice but kindness. And that's fine. But we need to see them. We need to let them know that they're loved and they're not forgotten. And God has said much to us in the scripture about our responsibility in honoring our fathers and our mothers until death would take them from us. And then our memories should cause us to even be as they have taught us to be, to honor God, to serve him with all of our hearts and souls and mind and strength. Thank God for our mothers. And let us pray. Our Father, we come again this morning with gratitude in our hearts for our mothers and our grandmothers. We thank you that each of us has had a mother. And we pray that you'd forgive us for our negligence in so many ways, that you'd help our mothers. And we pray for them, that you'd give them wisdom. And as we see this model in Scripture, we pray that it would not be disconcerting to these mother, to our mothers, but somehow there would be encouragement to know that they are partnering with a living God through faith in the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is more interested in the family than they are. We thank you that they are wise stewards, and we pray, Father, to bless them and honor them as they continue to pray and protect and exercise faith and trust toward you. And may we see the result, and may we give thanks for the result in seeing our progeny going on with God for your honor and glory. And as we come about the table of our Lord Jesus, may we realize that your love for us exceeds any love of any mother toward any child. And we come to remember that love, and we come to remember his dying love for us as we go to Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.